Before we start, does anybody have anything going on in their lives of interest spiritually? Has anybody abandoned themselves lately? I hope so. That would be nice. You know, we talk about it all the time. It's be interesting if it was actually happening. I know I spent yesterday with some customers for about 5 or 6 hours, and I find it's a requirement to get through the day in interacting with people, because all kinds of weird things happen in a running around with customers and stuff, and I find this stuff that we talk about, if I didn't have this, I would, all I would have was myself. All I could do was go into myself. That would be my only refuge. And that's what I do. It's what I've always done. I didn't know the extent of my degradation, you might say, or sin, or however you couch it. But that's the only place I would have to go. But I know that because of the morning meetings, because of our community, because of the message, because of the reality, because of the gift of God, that of repentance that is resident, that is always available to me. And believe me, I need it. I access it. And without it, I'm in bad shape. Because by my own self, well, why did I get saved in the first place? Why did I need salvation in the first place? I couldn't manage my own life. Thought I could. Turned out I was, couldn't handle it. I needed a Savior to live. And this lady I was with yesterday was telling a story about her daughter, who, the lady I was talking to, grew up in the church, was a, totally Christian woman, raises a daughter who goes totally berserk. She's at 13 having sex, 14 pregnant, 14 and a half married, and something like that. And that didn't change her life. She went on to be a drug addict, alcoholic, and sexaholic. And this woman couldn't understand, how is that possible? I'm a good Christian woman, I this, I that. And her daughter went another route. Until finally her daughter, at 32 years old, came to the end of herself. It was great the way she told this story, because it's our story. It's everyone in here's told this story. She finally came to the end to where she was wanted to die if God wasn't real. Cried out to God, and he totally pulled her out of everything she was in and planted her somewhere else. And now she's with a group kind of like this in Coppell, or Garza Little Elm. Yeah, she's a absentee Trinity member. So the cycle is going on everywhere. We have an abundance of that here to remind us and to clarify and give living examples of everything that we talk about. And hopefully we keep refining the way we hear this so that it's clear. And it's not really anything we do. It's the way God works. He gives the former rain and the latter rain. The latter rain is that clear, pristine ringing of the bell, that the message, when you hear the gospel, it penetrates you. There's nothing that stops His life and His words from mixing with the life that He's put in you. It's the wonder of this mystery that we've been delivered into. So, Let's do Romans 7. I don't think we got there last night. Sorry. It says, "Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." That describes your state. You are married to another. You are, your flesh and his flesh is one flesh. You are mixed together inseparably. That's why we hold the aspect or concept of marriage so high, is that it has to be seen for what it truly is, so that we can understand this mystery and live by it. We live by it because if you understand it, you will live by it. If you don't understand it, or if you denigrate it, then the mysteries of God just get washed away. So marriage is a very sacred institution for that reason. Not for the people itself necessarily, who are the picture, but for the type of the body and you in Christ. And you become dead to the law. So you're under the law until you cross over into this gospel. Until you accept it. And that so amazes me how it's all the time. And it becomes more and more. It used to be, you know, quite occasionally. And then somehow it just becomes moment by moment is where it ends up. Just moment by moment. But you see what that pictures is, that as you get farther and farther down the road to where the way is narrower and narrower, it's because you are in a constant state of repentance, so that you are in a constant state of eternity, so that you never leave the kingdom of God. And that's the point that we live on. That's that razor's edge, to where you're in the spirit, not knowing which way you'll go. You're being led of God. So you're not bound by laws, you're bound by spirit. It says, "For when we are in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." The motions of sins, what are those? The motions of sins. Everything you do in the flesh that are under the law. The law is not, the law is what you personally bind yourself to, or what you place yourself under until you're free of it. And it works in your members. That's what are your members? It's every part of you. It's very much what you think, yeah. And how you respond to those thoughts. Are you subject to those thoughts? Do those thoughts have you? Do they take you? Yes, they do. Until you come to this point of revelation, or till you see repentance, or accept your death. I mean, there's many, many points of escape from self. But they have to be your habitual ways, so that you don't for a moment give way to your members, give way to your flesh, give your mind its rein and let it go with you. And that's the life that's taking place. but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Everybody there last night? We had a concupiscent moment last night. And what was so funny to me in looking at that word is how foreign that word was to me, and yet how full of concupiscence I am. There's all kinds of cravings that would like to find their expression that just are waiting, and they're all over. There's all these little trips, little cravings, little desires that are just ever ready, trying to guide you into, you know, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And it was great to see it. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. It's like the without the law, without sin, without the stuff that you guys and me have been through in sin, understanding what sin is, we wouldn't know how to hear anything. We couldn't know God. The point to me being in that you can't be under condemnation by your life, by what you've been through. If you're under condemnation because of your what brought you to God, then you're despising the Maker and what He knew it took to deliver you into His kingdom. So you can't look back at what you have done and where you've been or what your life is about and say, oh, poor me, and if I'd only done this and I should have done that. You just can't do that, because you won't be seeing from God's point of view. You'll be still subject to your members, to your thoughts, to your own personal judgments. And you don't want to be that. You want to be delivered from that. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. This is the fun part. Yeah. This is what we like. Yeah, that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Is anybody not in that place? Frequently. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's very important that you see that. Because if you don't see that, you won't know you need a way out. You'll have no concept of spirit and law and grace and God. It just won't be an issue for you. But hopefully it is an issue. Hopefully you're struggling with this. And be glad that you are. Because that means you're in God's grip. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So we're getting all cut up here. Our parts are being, you know, is it me? Is it sin? Who is this person performing these things that are contrary to God? It's the old me, myself, and I circle. Which one of us is in control here? And we find that there are a variety of persons that dwell in this same flesh. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, or in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And that's the... That place is arrived at by as many people as there are, not only in this room, but in the world that God has called. You all are brought to that place to where you cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So I pray that everyone understands that because you've experienced it, maybe more than once, where you've had to cry out to God, O wretched man that I am, because that's who we are. And without God, we are wretched men, even if we're doing well in the world system. From God's point of view, you're a wretched man, and you will eventually realize it if you don't at any particular moment. And then by His grace, when you cry that cry, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then who does? There's one way of deliverance. It's through Jesus Christ. And in that deliverance, then everything changes. You're alive to the Spirit. Does the war stop? No. The war continues. But you have a Savior. You have a Deliverer.
I'm not sure there is a deliverance here. I mean, basically, he says, who shall deliver me? And then he says, and then it's just like out of nowhere. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he says, so then with my mind I serve the law of God, flesh of law, the law of sin. So there's no deliverance. He's still...
Well...
They're trapped in that body of sin.
But you're always... Deliverance is always available. You are delivered. In Him,
there's a transformation of seeing of identity, maybe. Seeing that the old identity is already... Maybe this is semantics, but...
It is.
It seems like an important...
It is an important point. Because in Him, you are delivered. Outside of Him, you are not. Maybe the word delivered is an odd one. But in Christ, you are free. You are everything that He is. And if that's not deliverance from self and the... and everything about you, I don't know what to call it. Where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's that positional thing. In Him, there's all of the perfection of God. Does the war stop? Outside of Him, there is no deliverance.
We're sticking at the word deliverance because we're so used to hearing it being delivered from a thing,
right?
Being delivered from drugs or whatever, of doing something, when what we're talking about here is deliverance from self.
So,
that's the only thing. We're talking about the exchange.
Yeah.
I'm dead, Christ is alive. That's deliverance. That's deliverance, you know, from this world, from, you know, the flesh.
Do you understand it better now?
Well, I think the word you use was transform. I mean, there's a transformation.
Yeah.
But there's just different ways to say it. But if there's not a deliverance, then what would we be? We'd be trapped in our flesh, and we'd have to go back to, oh, wretched man who that I am.
Well, we would have to, what, even sacrifice?
We'd have to go back and do the law, yeah, as the picture. But the Savior, and again, what would be the value of a Savior? Savior from what to what?
Well, it's all, I mean, another way to look at it is it's always the situation of Cain. I mean, we in the flesh are always Cain.
Yeah.
We've always killed our brother.
Yep.
And our countenance always falls. And sin, the sin offering is always there.
At the door.
So, no, there's no deliverance. There's no deliverance for the man of flesh.
Amen.
The flesh is always going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that can be left behind.
Right. Yeah. And that's repentance. That's answering
the
call at the door.
God, it's not, you know, they found no place of repentance, though he sought it earnestly with tears. If you're trying to be delivered, you ain't going to be delivered.
That's right. Because if you're trying, you're just trying to fix yourself.
If you're thinking about deliverance,
yeah,
you ain't going to get delivered.
Yeah. Thank
Which
you for
is
that question.
Exactly what it says in the next paragraph. If mm-hmm. I'm trying to be delivered, evil's present with me.
Right, you're trying to do good.
That's what this whole thing,
yeah.
I mean, the law is spiritual, I'm carnal.
Mm-hmm. And even if I'm trying to do the law, even if I'm obeying the law, I'm still carnal.
God gives the law to tell you mm-hmm. the good news. Take it and turn it into earthly ordinances and things and behavior.
That's right.
And this, it's inescapable.
It is.
It's inescapable.
And we'll do it ourselves. You know, we'll try it as if we were something special. This is the same gospel that we preached for 30 years of this fork in the road, of hearing that which is right and good, and at what point do we try and cloak ourselves with it?
It's always what we mentioned last night. It's always a monkey trap.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something that's to be grasped, then
we'll grasp it.
You're in a trap.
Yeah. And so the cry is always the same. A wretched man that I am, or a foolish person that I am. And from that point, where can you go from there? There's only one place that you can end up, and that's you have to give up. You have to be in rest. You have to surrender. You have to abandon, deny self. You have to all those things so that you are seated with God. You're not up trying to do His job. And there you are. We're back in our chairs. With God as doing what He does. Wondering, what are we going to do today? You know, we got little agendas and stuff, but I have no idea what's going to happen today. And actually, don't want to anymore. You know?
Yeah.
My plan.
It's vanity,
yeah.
It's
vanity. I've worked hard for 30 years now, and damn, I'm ready to retire. I should have retired 30 years ago.
Let it happen.
Well, and the reason I wouldn't is because I don't trust God. And see, I've said most of my life, I trust God. I've presented myself to myself. Forget you guys. I've presented myself to myself as a believer, as a truster in God, as a man of faith. You know, I've tried to fool my own being, and I fooled myself into thinking I could walk after God. You know, I've been a fool most of my life. Probably am now. But in surrender, none of that means anything. It doesn't matter what I have done. It makes me think of, was it Luther who, on his deathbed, said, burn all my books, you know, except for one? Yeah, bondage of the will.
Which is exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. Burn all my books. Doesn't matter what I've done, what I've said. What matters is here we are now. You know, we've come to Him. And in Him, that's none of that matters. None of that matters. We're in that perfect moment that we walk in. And that moment is out of time. It moves around, but time is not its master. And we're walking in Christ. And there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Seems like over the years that the times when their turmoil got the most, then that's when I would cry out. That's when I would turn to God. But then now, it just seems like the low-level turmoil, that's what we're attacking now. It's
yeah.
Like that. That's the easy point of the time when it's easy to turn to God. We become comfortable with this. I have over the years become comfortable with that low level of turmoil, and I, not anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, see, because you can be trapped in huge turmoil or small turmoil. The small, you say, oh, I can deal with this. I don't need God. So you're kind of dealing with your, on the low level. But you need God there just as much as when there's a tornado. And if you realize it, then that's our point. That's like the cosmetic on the bride that we've talked about. We're into the subtleties, the finer points of the beauty of the bride, and that's when abandonment of self is at every level, at the smallest or the greatest. And if we're in that, if we're walking in that level of repentance, then we are, as a body, free. And the irony is that it doesn't matter if one are doing it or two are doing it. It's God is concerned that the body is doing it. So your life suddenly doesn't just affect you. Your life affects me. And if you're walking in non-repentance, then the body is totally affected by it. And if you don't see your walk as that way, then you think this mystery is about you again and how it's affecting you and how you are being tossed to and fro. Get out of that. Repent. Repent for Him. Because it's bigger than you are. Anybody else? It's 8:01.
Can't hear you.
No, I just said low level stuff just turns into high level stuff.
Yeah.
Low level stuff turns into high level stuff, and that's a I never thought about what you just said. Because I'm that way too. I'm strong. I can take a lot. I can put up with so much crap. It's ridiculous. And I do that. But that is sin to the max, because it's me exercising my own strength. And God has nothing to do with that, with me in that place. And so that's a new place of repentance that I really have never entertained. So, excellent. Stop putting up with all this crap. Anything else? Michael? Are you going to repent today?
Well, listening to this teaching and stuff, I realize I can't use it, I can't apply it, I can't figure out how to make it work, So, I still don't know what to do all the time.
Well said. You're hearing.
Nothing I can do.
Yeah. That's excellent. You can't even repent. Well, you're in a room full of people who have tried. How can we make this work for us? And as you can see, it hasn't. Okay. Okay,